ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्
हरि ओम. सो दिस टेक्स्ट स्टार्ट्स विद द स्टूडेंट आस्किंग द टीचर व्हाट इज आत्मा, व्हाट इज अनात्मा, व्हाट इज टेम्पररी, व्हाट इज परमानेंट, व्हाट इज ट्रूथ एंड व्हाट इज अनरियल. And so the teacher starts with explaining that anything that you perceive, including your body, is all jada. It is all inert. And the body is also inert because the body has a form, like a pot has a form. And the body is made of five elements, just as the whole world is made of five elements. And other arguments the teacher gave, in which we discussed in the last few verses. And today, the teacher will spend a couple more shlokas on negating the body, and then he will start talking about the Atma, the self, because the student had asked in the last verse that we did that he would like to see, know the Atma just like a fruit in the palm of your hand. How clearly that is the student's request. So that's why the teacher, first of all, negates what the self is not, and then will tell what the self is, just as the Upanishad says, neti neti, not this, not this. Whatever you perceive as this, this I am not. And we will do a few more shlokas negating the body, and then we will come to the actual truth of this message, that who am I, that will be covered. So we'll start with shloka number 15. Lata, do you have this?
I do.
Ghata, shloka 15. Ghata drishta ghatat bhinnah.
Ghata drishta ghatat bhinnah.
Sarvatha na ghato yatha.
Sarvatha na ghato yatha.
Deha drishta tatha deha.
Deha drishta tatha deha.
Naham mityavadharaya.
Naham mityavadharaya.
Deha has been written as deho. If you read it continuously, then it becomes deho because of sandhi rule. But if you break it, it is deha. So let us chant together. Everybody mute. Ghata drishta ghatat bhinnah. सर्वथा न घटो यथा देह दृष्टा तथा देहः नाहं मिथ्यवधारय घट दृष्टा घटात् भिन्नः. दिस इज समथिंग यू शुड मे बी राइट ऑन योर फोरहेड, यू नो, हैव इट एम्बाम्ड और समवेयर वेर यू कैन सी इट ऑल द टाइम. दिस इज वन ऑफ द फ्यू वेरी वेरी फेमस श्लोकास इन वेदांता, वेरी फेमस एक्सप्रेशन. घट दृष्टा घटात् भिन्नः, द नोअर ऑफ अ पॉट. द दृष्टा मीन्स सीयर, बट इन आवर वेदांता वेन एवर वी से सीयर इट मीन्स नोअर. दैट्स वाई भगवान इवन इन द भगवद गीता वेन ही सेज दृश्यति और पश्यन, वॉट ही मीन्स इज नोइंग. सो घट दृष्टा, सो द सीयर ऑफ द पॉट और द नोअर ऑफ द पॉट इज डिस्टिंक्ट फ्रॉम द पॉट, घटात् भिन्नः. And always, sarvatha, never na ghato yatha. So the seer of a pot or knower of the pot can never be the pot. Sarvatha, never be the pot. Yatha, just as a seer of the pot never can be the pot, tatha deha drishta, tatha deha. So the seer of the body or the knower of the body cannot be the body. And na aham, I am not the body. Iti avadharaya. Avadharaya means clearly understand, ascertain. The teacher keeps hammering because we think, oh, I have understood, I am not the body, I am the Atma. But then something happens to the body, or, you know, somebody, I walk out of this class and somebody insults me and I get insulted to my mind, or something, I get confused, then immediately I think, oh, I am hurt, or I am offended, or I am insulted. So because our identification with the body, mind, and intellect is for many, many births, not only from this birth, from the time we were protozoa, you know, billions of years ago, we always have been thinking, I am the body. So the teacher wants to completely remove that. So if anybody hurts you, anything wrong with the body, anything, you know, to not get hurt or upset, because I am not the body. Of course, you take medicine for the body or whatever is required, but do not be affected by what people say, what hurts you, nothing, because I am not the body. And also in the next shloka, the guru will tell us, I am not the mind and intellect. So, sarvatha, or at all times. So we say, oh, pot, I understand, I am not the pot, you know, the pot I am not. But what about this pot that we are? You know, we constantly fill it 4 times a day with food and nourish it and buy things for it. So this pot also I am not. So this body is like a pot, just as that pot is made of clay, this body is made of flesh and blood. So that this pot also I am not. And it cannot be. You may have understood it, you may have heard it, but you have to contemplate upon it. In your meditation, you assert to yourself that I am not the body, I am the Atma. And that's why shlokas, you know, like asangoham, asangoham, or brahma tattvamasi bhava atmani, that they say in Vivek Chudamani. So contemplate, meditate upon these shlokas, because the owner of a thing cannot be the thing. Like Gurudev says, you own you are the owner of the dog, then you are definitely not the dog, because what I own, I am not. So this knowledge is not only to be intellectual, but has to go within. And in our meditation, we should glide gently towards this idea. I think on Sunday I had spoken about a rocket, you know. I think some of you were there, some of you were not, so I can repeat that idea. A rocket, when it is shot from into space from NASA, first it has to exert a lot of energy. All the fuel has to be burnt. The major 90% of the fuel gets burnt in taking off, because the rocket has to move out of the Earth's gravity and it has to work hard. But then once it gets out of gravity, then it gently glides towards the moon. And then to land on the moon, the rocket stops its power, and the moon gently pulls it towards itself, and the rocket gently lands with parachutes. So same way, you and I, in our meditation, our contemplation, to get out of this bondage of the body, mind, intellect, that I am that, is like strong, like the earth's gravity. It is pulling us down. It is pulling us back to the unreal world. So to escape that, I have to work very hard, and I will talk about some techniques to escape that. But then once we get out of that, then in our meditation, we gently glide towards the truth, towards Bhagwan, and then Bhagwan pulls us, just as the moon pulls the rocket. So Bhagwan will pull us. So the final step is from Bhagwan. And as long as you think you are the body, you will have all the worries. You know, my body is hurting, I'm getting old, my hair is getting white, all those things, wrinkles are coming, or I am not well, I have high blood pressure, I have this. So all the worries of the body will worry you, all the desires, everything. So the only way to reduce this is to reduce this identification with the body. And I had heard some very beautiful techniques. One very important thing is simplify your life. Do not spend too much time in buying things for the body, taking care of the body, worrying about the body or the mind or the intellect. So simplify your life, you know, reduce your possessions, give away what you don't need, and make your life simple, you know, as far as your whatever things you possess, make it simple. And if possible, try to what do you call download, or what do they say, when whatever this, basically to reduce our. And vairagya is very important, detachment from this body and detachment from my possessions. All the things that I own, I don't depend on them for happiness. And vairagya, not only from objects, but also to some extent from people and situations. Like, we get so attached to, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, why, you know, let that go. Same way, family members, not that we should not love them, but excessive dependence on anybody or anything is what is reduced. So they say that develop detachment. The third is do karma yoga. So one is simplify your life, detach, and third is do karma yoga, positive giving to people. You know, as we saw in Hanuman Havan, everybody contributed, participated. So positively, you can participate by physically helping. You can participate by emotional support. Somebody is sick, you go visit them. Somebody passed away. You can contribute financially. You can contribute labor. So however I can give back to society, the more we give, the less my individuality gets weaker. And once you start doing serious karma yoga, you will find that your individuality will get less. So doing these three things, simplify your life, vairagya, and karma yoga, is very, very important. And you know, another example they give, like somebody pinches you. You say, oh, why did you pinch me? He says, I didn't pinch you, I pinched your body. So you are not the body. Remember, you were telling me. So these are, you know, practical things. And what I would suggest to each one of you is to write down on a piece of paper, on one side, the attributes of Atma. What is self? What are its attributes? You know, whatever you think of. And on the other side, what are attributes of Anatma, of the world? You know, one is temporary, one is permanent, like that. So write down. And if you want, you can post it on the WhatsApp, and so people can see the ideas, that what is self and what is not self. And if there's any major errors, I can send you a separate, you know, message. But that way it will force you to think what I am and what I am not. And also, this meditation should be serious. So like mano buddha hankar cittani naham chidananda rupah shivoham shivoham, Shankaracharya ji says. So many people make it into a song, Mano, you know, like that, they make it into a lengthy. That's not the purpose of shlok. These mantras are not to be sung. They are, you can chant them, but the idea is to abide in that truth. And that is the purpose of this knowledge. And we should remember in the Atma, in the self, there is no subject and object. As far as Atma is concerned, Atma alone exists. All this world is illusion, is non-existing. So we'll talk more about the relationship of Atma to the Anatma in the next couple of shlokas. Sujata, this time you have the book now? Okay, you can chant number 16. Evam Indriya Drignaham.
एवं इंद्रिय दृढ़ एवं इंद्रिय दम
नाहम
नाहम
इंद्रियाणीति निश्चिनो
इंद्रियाणीति निश्चिनु
मनोबुद्धिस्तथा प्राणः
मनोबुद्धि तथा प्राणः
नाहम इत्यवधारय.
नाहम नित्यवधारय
We'll all chant together. Evam Indriya Drig Naham Indriyani Nishchuno Mano Buddhistatha Pranaha Naham Ityavadharaya. So Naham Iti Avadharaya. I am not. Iti Avadharaya. Know it very clearly. Ascertain it clearly in your mind. And what is this? Evam. Just as we had talked about the body. Now the same rule applies here in from the previous shloka. In this way, Indriya Drig, the seer of the senses, I am, but I am not the senses. Naham Indriyani. I am not the Indriyani, the senses. Iti Nishchino. Nishchino means be sure of this understanding and abide in this. So repeat it to yourself, understand it, and make it your own knowledge. Nishchinu manobuddhi tatha pranaha, mana buddhi pranaha. Also, I am not. Naham iti avadharaya. Completely, clearly ascertain that, understand that. So now, from the gross body, Shankaracharya ji takes us to the subtle body. Because the subtle body identification also is very strong. You know, I am happy, I am unhappy. I got hurt, I got insulted, nobody cares for me. So we strongly identify with problems of the mind and intellect also, you know, because physical problems may be a little easier, but mental are even harder to give up, intellectual. So here Shankaracharya ji says the seer of the senses is not the senses. And the senses are 10, you know, five sense organs and five organs of action, 10. And in between is mana buddhi from the second line. So the sense organs, eyes, ears, nose, skin, tongue, you know, take the message to the mind. The mind presents to the intellect. It happens instantly. And then the intellect decides. So then the hands, feet, speech, you know, carry out the instructions of the intellect. So this whole package, this whole collection, sense organs, mind, intellect, and organs of action is one cycle, and those I am not. And Gurudev gives an example of the worker, like a worker is using his tools, say to cut the wood in the saw, with the saw to build a house and so on. So that worker is not his tools. Worker knows that once his work is done, he puts the tools aside. The same way we use our equipment, but then put it aside when we don't need it and stay with that idea that I am. And same thing when I'm breathing. You know, I know I am breathing. I can regulate, breathe fast, breathe slow. Of course, unconscious breathing also goes on, but I'm aware that I am breathing and all the other pranas, you know, my digestion. Somebody says, oh, I'm not, my digestion is not good. I don't feel good. I don't know what I ate. So all those are known to us, and also the mind and intellect, you know, emotions in the mind, ideas in the intellect, they are all belong to the mind and intellect, do not belong to me. And a very careful study and analysis of this is required. So there is a beautiful text by Shankaracharya ji, Drig Drishya Vivek. I'll just spend a few minutes talking about that. Drig Drishya Vivek. Drig means seen, and Drishya means the see. No, Drig is the seer,
Here.
and Drishya is the seen. So the seer and the seen, Vivek, the discrimination between seer and seen. So he starts his text by saying that
Objects.
objects like colors, smell, taste, appearance, all those are known to the eyes, say to the eyes, all forms are known to the eyes, sounds are known to the ears. So the forms are known to the eyes, but eyes do not get affected by the form. Like if the eye is seeing a red tablecloth, it doesn't become red, and if it's seeing a blue cloth, doesn't become blue. Eye remains the same, but it sends the message. There is a blue cloth, red cloth, and so on. Then the condition of the eyes do not know what they are seeing. They are just like, just passages through which this knowledge goes. And
Right.
the condition of the eyes is known to the mind. Mind knows, like I know, oh, my eyes are blurry. I need to go to the eye doctor. I need to go get my eyes checked. Talking about getting my eyes checked, this man went to the doctor and says, "Doctor, I need help." Doctor says, "Oh, you have eye problems." So he says, "How did you know I have eye problems?" He says, "You came in through the window." So, instead of the door. So our eye problems are known to the mind and the intellect. So I know my vision is blurry. I need to go see the doctor and so on. Then the mind and intellect, who knows the mind and the intellect? I, the self, the consciousness. So the I should not be affected by changes in the mind and intellect, just as the mind is not affected. If the eyes become blurry, mind doesn't become blurry. If the eyes become healthy, mind remains the same, intellect remains the same. So I, the consciousness, I am unaffected by changes in the eyes, the mind, or the intellect. So then one very interesting fact: the eyes have no knowledge, and Atma also has no knowledge. One of the Mahatmas wrote it, and I had to think for a moment. Is Atma has no knowledge? They say, yeah, hand has no knowledge, and Atma has no knowledge. Why? Hands, we know, okay, has no knowledge. It passes, it comes to the intellect, eyes. But the Atma has nothing except itself to know. See, one Atma alone is everything. That's why our Vedanta is called Advaita. That means there are no two. At the level of the world, yeah, we see differences, I, you, me, mountain, tree, all that. But at the level of Atma, there is oneness. That alone is. So when everything is me, then how am I to know anything? So Atma, as the level of Atma, there is no world, there is no reality. Just as in the dream, this world looks real, but when you wake up, the dream disappears. So same way, one who wakes up to that level of consciousness then always abides in that consciousness, sees the world as a appearance where I am playing a role, and does not get too much affected by worldly problems, which we see in all these Mahatmas who are unaffected by whatever the world does to them. Mirabai, Tukaram, Jesus, all of them were, badly treated by the world, but their faith in God remained eternal. And in this Drig Drishya Vivek, there is another beautiful concept that who am I? Who am I really? So he says we have five things, five factors. So I am the body, I am the mind, I am the intellect, and the fifth is I am Atma, the consciousness. But what is the fourth? See, the body, mind, and intellect are inert. By themselves, they cannot function. Atma is one without second. But there is a one entity that arises between Atma and BMI, and that is called Chidabhas, or reflection of consciousness. So the consciousness reflects upon the mind and intellect. The mind and intellect are subtle. They have the ability to reflect, just as a mirror is subtle, has the ability to reflect light from the sun, but a rock cannot. Rock is gross. So similarly, the body is gross. It cannot reflect consciousness, but the mind and intellect are subtle and they have the ability to reflect consciousness. So when the consciousness is reflected in the mind and intellect, what arises is that fifth entity, which is between consciousness and BMI, and that is called Chidabhas, or reflection of consciousness. But the Atma alone is the witness, is the knower of all these at all times. So that is how I am these five things. And here Shankaracharya Ji tells us that I am not only not the gross body, but I am not the subtle body, the mind, the intellect, and even the thoughts, vasanas, none of that I am. So they say, okay, not separately, but together. Like when I say I am this body, I don't say I am just this body. When I say I am, then I understand. I am body plus mind plus intellect plus vasanas plus desires plus tendencies, habits. So all those things, when I say I don't say, oh, this body, I am this body alone. We include all that, right? What is called Sanghata, the totality. And so, okay, maybe I am not the body, I'm not the mind separately, but how about when you put it all together, I would be that, you know? That's how we think. I am the total of all these. So Shankaracharya Ji says, no, Sanghato api tatha naham. In the same way, as I said earlier, I am not the confluence or combination of all these gross body, subtle body, causal body. That confluence, I am naham iti drishya vilakshanam. I am separate from whatever I see, whatever I know. He is again hammering that. And how? Drashta, drashtaram. I am drashta, I am the knower. Nipun anumanena, with careful, intelligent thinking. See, and with inference and careful, intelligent thinking, sampradharaya, completely understand it. Completely, sam means completely understand. So why am I not the totality, the whole package? You know, like they say, what is a house? House is not only windows. It is windows and doors and roof and floor and carpet and all. So I cannot say windows is house. So I'm not saying I am the combination, combo of all these. So we have to discriminate with logic. And very often those who argue against this logic, they give the example of paan. You know, paan, if you chew, now what is paan? The leaf is green. They put that katha, which is brown, and chuna, which is white. You know, if you see them making, the paan maker does those three things. Paan, green, katha, which is brown, and chuna, which is white. And then other things he may put to sweeten the paan. But these are the three essential things. And if I only have those three, even if I don't have those others, when I chew the paan, what happens? The red liquid comes out. That's why when people who spit in, you know, in India, you see a lot of that people spit on the wall, on the floor, you see these red splashes. They say, how did the red come out? A combination of green, brown, white, you know, it came out. So same way, we as the combination are real. You know, that is who I am. So people who disagree with this theory, they say no, just as the combination of paan happens, so body also happens like that. And modern thinking, especially if you ask your children, if you ask the youth, they will say there is no God. So we say, how did the world come about? Oh, there were these chemicals. You know, they won't say where the chemicals came from. There were these chemicals around, and so it happened by chance, the chemicals combined, you know, all these chemicals combined, carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and all, and it just by chance it happened. So just by putting them together, It just was created. You know, that's what they say. And they say, where did the chemicals come? Oh, science is discovering. They are finding out. They will find out. So they say, there is no God. The world is a chance. You say, how all this brilliance came out? Through evolution. You know, we were a plant, then we became protozoa, then fish, and all. Darwin's theory of evolution. So man has evolved to that smartness. And when these chemicals that constitute our body, when they get disorganized, that is death. You know, chemicals are no longer interacting. That is death. They say there is no soul that goes, and that's very typical of the youth. So that is how they say. So we ask that if I am none of these, how can I be all of these? See, like if I am not the body, not the mind, not the intellect, not the vasanas, not the desires, not the pranas, not this, then just by putting them together, I cannot become that, you know. So example they give is the rope. Rope is, you know, a bundle of threads. And when they are put together, they say, oh, rope becomes a thread, is weak, becomes strong. But Gurudev says the strength of the rope is the strength of the individual fibers. So rope is nothing but the individual fibers put together. So this whole sangata, this whole package, is nothing but body, mind, intellect put together. And Vedanta explains it very beautifully. It talks about non-apprehension and misapprehension. All of you know that, but I'll just briefly mention it. It's a non-apprehension means not seeing, not perceiving, not knowing the Atma. As Atma, I superimpose this body, mind, intellect, which is called ego. Superimposition of all these elements upon the Atma is called ego. So because of non-apprehension of the truth, there is misapprehension of the world. We don't see the world as Brahman, you know, but that's why we superimpose all these things. But all these are just illusory creations by Bhagwan himself to give us the world to experience, but then he also gives us the knowledge that do not be too attached to the superimposition, go to the essence. Just as the essence of ornaments is gold, the essence of chair and table is wood, so my essence, that is what we have to focus on in our meditation. What is the essence of this BMI? And that is what the shloka talks about, that remove the non-apprehension and then remove the misapprehension, and then the non-apprehension will automatically go away. The Atma will appear. Once you remove all these and firmly you are convinced, then the knowledge will reveal itself. You don't have to go seeking. You just have to remove what it is not. The Upanishad says, no, not this, not this, not this. Whatever I see as this, I am not. Then automatically, what remains is Atma. So, student says, I asked you so many 18 shlokas ago to explain Atma, and you are still talking about Anatma. Politely, of course, he's not making fun. So now, teacher from 18th starts saying what I really am. Sharad, you have this?
Yes.
Or 18. Dehendriyadayo bhava.
Indriyadayo bhava.
Ana divya pratikshamaha.
Hana divya pratikshamaha.
Yasya sannidhi matrena.
Yasya sannidhi matrena.
Oham mityavadharaya.
Soham mityavadharaya.
Dehendriyadayo bhavaha hana divya pratikshamaha yasya sannidhi matrena soham mityavadharaya. So deha indri adi adaya. So that means whatever teacher has explained as not me. So deha, body, indriya, senses, mind, intellect, vasana, pranas, all those are just entities. They are inert entities. And hana divya pratikshamaha, and they are capable of acceptance and rejection, taking and giving up. So they are capable of taking and giving up. But who is that? Because of that entity, this world is functioning. Yasya sannidhi matrena, just by the presence alone of this Atma, the consciousness. In me, you can call it Atma. In the total, we call it Brahman, but that they are the same. There is only one Atma, there is only one Brahman. Yasya sannidhi matrena, just by the presence of this Atma, all of them function. They are able to give up and take up, accept and reject. And that I am, soham. Now here he comes, that I am, iti avadharaya. Understand that very clearly. I am that consciousness in whose presence this whole universe is functioning, body, mind, intellect. The sun is illumining, the planets are moving, the plants are growing, everything, wind is blowing, everything is happening because of that one consciousness. So what do we mean by taking up and giving up? So first of all, like the jacket, I can put on the jacket, I can give up the jacket. So whatever I can put on and give up, I am not the jacket. And then I say this body also, I have taken up different things. I took up childhood, then I gave up childhood, became a youth, took up youth, then gave up youth, I took up middle age. So all those things that I take and give up, I am not. And this body not only changes with age, but also we find during the day also, when I go to sleep, I give up all body identification. At that time, I'm not aware of my body. When I wake up, immediately the ego starts, I am this body. So anything that I can take up and give is I am not. And when I'm in coma or when I am under anesthesia, your body identification, you give up and then you take it up again. And the one in whose presence this is functioning, I am. So they give many examples, like the sun. Now the sun is shining. Sun itself is not doing anything, just providing light. But when the sun rises, then people get up, they go to work, they get ready, they go to work or start their day's activities. The farmers go out in the field, the workers, everybody, the animals, the birds all wake up. And then when the sun sets, then all the animals go to sleep, birds go to sleep, humans also. Not all humans, some are up till 2, 3 in the morning, but majority of people go to sleep. So the sun is unaffected by whether the man is sleeping or he's awake. He doesn't say that, oh, this person doesn't respect me. This person gets up and chant Gayatri Mantra. I'll give him more sunlight. And the one who, said, oh, why this stupid sun has come out? I have to go to work. No, the sun, whether you praise it or you criticize, the sun gives equal energy to all. So same way that Atma, the consciousness. Electricity is another example. Electricity itself doesn't do anything, but in the presence of electricity, the light is lit, the fan moves, the air conditioner works, the freezer works. Everything works in the presence of electricity. Or gasoline in the car. Gasoline itself doesn't do anything, but in the presence of gasoline, the car moves, the wheels move, and the, speedometer changes, all that is happening. Of course, the difference in electricity and gasoline is that they get less. See, as they are used, electricity, when you use a lot, then the PG&E sends you a bill. You use so much electricity, we had to give you more. Or gasoline, when you empty, you have to go fill up. But in the case of Atma, Atma does not get empty by nourishing all of us. Even the sun is the same way. Sun does not get less or does not say, I'm tired of giving so much energy. No, sun remains complete by itself. That's why the sun is considered very close to Atma. In a lot of our Vedanta, they give the example of the sun because of its property of illumination. And the self itself is a karta, is the non-doer, but in the presence of Atma, the self, everything moves. And like people always blame God, why is God there? Why is this happening? Why is God doing this? I heard a song which says that, which is very popular in the Middle East with all this war going on. It says, "Oh Khuda, why is it happening on your earth that so much violence is happening? People are killing each other, and why there is so much killing?" Bhagwan says, I am not killing. I just gave you the ability and you gave you the resources. Now you could have used the ability to make something good, but you chose to make planes and weapons and missiles. So you used your energy and your resources on the wrong things, and then you are fighting and killing. Then how am I to blame? That's the fact. They always blame God. Oh, why is there so much violence in the world? Why are people so bad? Or why bad things happen to good people? So Bhagwan says, I just do whatever happens is because of your karmas. So that I have to understand that I am. And the next eight verses, soham, we have to constantly say, I am that. Iti avadharaya, understand it properly. But what is our problem? We are too busy. I am so busy, I don't have time. I'm running around doing this, doing that, doing that. But you don't have time to think who you really are. How are you here? Why are you on this earth? So studying the scriptures, not only mechanically, but making it part of your thinking and start living like that. That I am the Atma and none of these things are real, none of these things are affecting me. So that correct identification that I am that soham is again a very important mantra. Soham means that I am, that I am iti avadharaya. We have nine, we can do one more shloka. Varshaben, you have this?
19th.
19th we can do. Beautiful example Shankaracharya ji has given in number 19. अनापनविकारसन
अनापन्नविकारशन्
अयस्कान्तवद एव यः
यस् अयस्कान्तव वदेव यः
गुड
देवय वयः देवयः
करेक्ट बुद्ध्यादींश्चालये प्रत्यक्
बुद्ध्यादिश्चालये प्रत्यक्
सोऽहमित्यवधारय
सोऽहमित्यवधारय
एदर यू कैन म्यूट अनापनविकारसन् अयस्कान्तवद एव यः बुद्ध्यादींश्चालये प्रत्यक् सोऽहमित्यवधारय दैट आई एम इति अवधारय नो दैट एंड अगेन एवरी श्लोक Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji will tell us that I am. What am I? Anapat. Anapat means the innermost. That's why they say not there is gross body, subtle body, causal body, vasanas, and then Atma in the BMI chart. But does not mean that Atma is some tiny little thing way inside my body, and sometime or the other I kind of look and see, oh, this is Atma, and then put it back. Not like that. Atma is all pervading, but it is the most subtle. It is the most subtle and the most difficult to know. That's why it is said it is innermost and avikara, and it is changeless. No changes happen in Atma. Ayas means iron filings, and kantavad means that which is dear to the iron filings. Kanta means husband or means one who is dear. So what it means is iron filings, and what is dear to the iron filings? The magnet. So magnet is called Kantavad. So Ayaskanta is an expression, means iron filings and the magnet, because the magnet attracts the iron filings. Vat eva yaha, that example is given. Buddhyadish chalaye pratyak. Buddhyadi, again, buddhyadin means all. Once we say buddhi, etc., then all we have to understand: body, mind, intellect, vasanas, pranas, all that. Chalayet, and that which makes them move. Pratyak, but it is the innermost. Soham iti avadharaya. So the Atma is innermost. We talked about the most subtle, and it is changeless. Nothing gets affects Atma. Whenever things affect the body or the mind or the world, there may be a nuclear holocaust, and maybe like in Hiroshima, hundreds of thousands of people died, but the Atma does not get affected. It's like the sun. The sun is there in the sky and it's being reflected in a bucket. And the reflection is very bright, and then you hammer a stone really hard down. And the reflection as though gets cracked, because the whole water gets disturbed. But does the sun in the sky get cracked? No, the sun is the same. It's only the reflection that gets affected. So same way, any of the tragedies or calamities occur, they occur in the BMI, in the visible world, do not affect me, and I am unaffected, just as the iron filings and magnet. So a magnet, in its presence, the iron filings move. So we used to do experiments where there was a cloth paper, and then you put some iron filings on top and put the magnet below the paper. And then slowly you move the magnet and the iron filings move, and you can make patterns in that by moving the magnet. But without the presence of the magnet, the iron filings would not move. They would not be affected. Filings are those little pieces of iron. But the magnet does not get affected. Magnet itself remains the same, but in the presence of the magnet, the iron filings change. So similarly, this buddhi, all these our factors, equipment, chalayet, all the sanghata, chalayet, it moves it, but it is the innermost, it is the itself unaffected, it is chit, it is chaitanya, it is the consciousness, and it makes everything function, but itself remains the same, remains unaffected. So the more you identify with the body, the more you will have joys and sorrows, difficulties, problems, pains. But you problems of the body are my body, problems of the mind are my mind. Somebody, spoke badly to me, insulted. All those things will affect you if you are identified with that. But if you say, I am the magnet and all these are moving in my presence, then let them move, let them function. And whatever problems come, you take care of it, but do not get affected. Say, I am hurting, I am in trouble, I am. So the I should be very clear. Who is this I we are talking about? And that should be very clear to each and every one. And of course, for functioning, you have to say, I am the body. Like Guruji always says, I say I'm Atma, but when I fill out the passport, they say, who are you? What is your name? I say, Atma, Sat Chit Anand Brahma, I am. You say, when were you born? Date of birth, I was never born. address, I have no address. I'm all pervading. In fact, it's so funny. One student was with Gurudev. He was Gurudev's student, and he left. And left the mission and kind of was doing his own thing, starting his own. And it at one conference, Gurudev met him. So Gurudev asked him, where are you? So he says, I am all pervading, I am everywhere. What arrogance in the presence of your guru, you're saying, trying to show off your knowledge. Gurudev is asking, where are you? Means, are you in Hyderabad or wherever you are? But so one has to know where to use this knowledge and how to use this knowledge. But these shlokas are so powerful if we understand and apply and abide in them. There is nothing more that one can understand. Shankaracharya ji, in this brief little booklet, has, of course, there are Brahma Sutras and so many Upanishads. Again and again, this knowledge is expressed differently because we don't know what text will hit you at what time. Somebody gets affected by an Upanishad, somebody gets affected by Bhagavad Gita, it changes, or by even a text like this, you know, even something like, even just the eight shlokas, Nirvana Shatkam. So what will affect you at what time, we don't know, but the idea is to keep on listening so that the knowledge becomes firm, just as the river in the Grand Canyon, the Colorado River, keeps flowing and makes groove in the stone. Finally, it became 7,000 feet deep, or I don't know how many, several miles deep. I think 6, 7 miles deep it is. So same way, this knowledge should make a firm groove in our intellect so that we should be totally abiding in this, and not only in our meditation, but at all times. So I'll end here. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments, this topic is a little heavy, so please feel free to ask question. Yeah, go ahead, Lata.
The last one you mentioned, the magnet. So you're referring to Atma as the magnet.
Yes.
And the BMI and the whole equipment as iron filings.
Yes.
In the presence of that magnet, only these will move.
Right. Right.
And function
absolutely
out there in the world.
Right.
That's what.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what it meant. Okay. And then we missed the shloka number 17 recitation. I felt.
17?
Yeah.
The chanting of it?
Yeah, chanting of it. We went from 16 to 18.
No, we did 17.
We did?
Sangha.
You explained everything.
You explained it, but we didn't chant it because I was also confused.
Sorry.
You just started explaining
word
it.
By word meaning of it. Let's
without
chant.
Chanting, yes.
Sangha topi tatha naham iti drishya vilakshanam drashtaram manumanena nipunam sampradharaya. So sanghata means this whole package of body, mind, intellect, vasanas, also api also tatha naham, in the same way, just as I am not the body, I am not the subtle body, gross body, I am not even the mixture of it, package of it, naham iti drishya vilakshanam, I am distinct from the scene, just as the drashta. So I am the drashta, I am the seer, but I am not, in the next line, anumanena. So by nipunam, by very intelligent inference, by intelligent understanding, you understand that I am the seer, I'm not the seen. As I was not the individual item, so also I am not the package. Iti sampradharaya, clearly understand that. Yeah, so that was 17, and then we explained how the whole package, we talked about the paan, you know, how it, katha, chuna, leaf, it makes red color, but this whole package, you know, is the same. It is that inert. Everything is inert. So combination of inert cannot become sentient. It's like the example they give, you know, they say that, oh, these elements got together and suddenly the animals and all came out. It's like you say that on the ground you put wood, you put cement, you put bricks, you put paint, you put carpet, wire, put all that together in one enclosure, very close to each other, and mix them and leave it for 5 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. Will they all get together and build a house by themselves? No. Even for 1,000 years you leave it, that will rust, but the house won't be built. So people who, modern scientists who say, oh, these elements were just placed together and somehow it came. So that I am not. So if I am none of these individual, how can I be the whole package? So that is what I explained. And they said remove the miss, remove the non-apprehension, and then the misapprehension will go away.
So you just explained this individual things by itself will not build the house. So
Yes.
there is an intelligent design behind it that is needed to put together all these things.
Everything,
Absolutely.
even in the world.
Right. Yeah, that's what she said, the house. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. Go ahead.
Whether it's house, car, anything.
Right. So there is that intelligence is needed, and that's what it says, Nipunam. What is the inference here? Would you explain that?
From inferring from our understanding, from our looks at it, from the scripture, so all with those ideas, I infer that. Again,
Okay.
no textbook can explain this truth fully.
It will not be held as a fruit in your hand,
Right.
but through this, all the explanation you have to infer that that is what that is.
Yeah, because the fruit in the hand you can see, your eyes can see, your
Right.
can feel it, touch it, taste it, but the Atma cannot be seen, cannot be felt, cannot be touched, cannot be tasted, cannot be, changed. Fruit you can cut, Atma cannot be cut. So fruit example is given to explain that to the wise person, the Atma is as clear as to us is the fruit in the hand. To him,
Oh, okay. I get it.
is that clear? He doesn't need to go thinking or speaking.
No, he does not.
Like Ramakrishna Paramhans, he told Vivekananda, "I see God more clearly than I see you." Always remained in the awareness of the mother. When he was garlanding the mother, many times he would garland himself. Call him a madman. He was a pujari. What kind of pujari is this?
Do puja of his
He
wife.
used to do puja of his wife or do puja of himself. Any lady he saw, he would remember the mother goddess and go into trance. One time he saw a prostitute and he went into trance. So people used to consider him a madman, but for them, these wise person, the truth is as real as the fruit is to us.
Okay.
So
It
they
all.
always abide in that understanding. Yeah, thank you for pointing it out and thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, so remove that, see Atma alone, but then all the misapprehensions will go away with this understanding that I am Atma alone and all these are my equipment. Just as a construction worker says, I am the worker, but this saw, hammer, nails are my equipment. I am not them. So same way, this body, mind, intellect, senses, pranas are all my equipment which I use to function. But I am none of those. I am the eternal Atma. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. It's a beautiful text. I am enjoying so much, studying and trying. Preparing for it. I hope you all get that same excitement, by listening to this text. It's very, very, it makes you
Meditation.
think, and yeah, it's for meditation, not only for understanding, but take these ideas and meditate upon them.
Okay.
Okay. Om Purnamada
Purnamidam
Purnamidam Purnat
Purnamudachyate
Purnamudachyate
Purnasya
पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय
पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते
पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः
हरिः
ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ थैंक यू हरिः ओम्